Take your Bibles this morning, Job chapter 23. Thank you, ladies. Appreciate that. Appreciate the good singing. Amen. And thankful for new sound system that's almost completed. And we're looking forward to them probably completing that this week. And so we're excited about that. Glad to be in a new church. And I hate when Pastor gets sick, but I love to preach. And I really do. I pray for Pastor that he heals, but I appreciate the opportunity. And if you were here last night, and if you kept your ticket stub, the staff will be up here signing autographs after service. Amen. And so if you're interested in that, just see us after service. We'll be signing those ticket stubs. Had a good time last night. Food was great. And Pastor was really thrilled because that was one of the biggest crowds we had for the Christmas Eve party or Christmas party. So thanks to everybody who had a part in that. And all the decorations look great. And we're glad that you came. Job chapter 23, the Bible says, then Job answered and said, you say, well, what is he answering? Well, he's answering his three critics. And specifically, Eliphaz was the last one that spoke to him. And of course, you know, all three of them begin to say, well, Job, the reason that God's treating you this way is because of these things. And have you ever went through a dark time in your life and it seems like everybody has the answer for your problems? You know, well, you know, if you would just do right or, if, you know, but the Bible says that Job was perfect. That God didn't bring this upon Job because Job was a sinner, was in deep sin or because he was disobedient to God. God brought this upon Job because God loved Job. And matter of fact, if you read the story of Job, I like this, is that basically the devil comes before God and he has to always give permission. Thank the Lord for that. And he said, I've been walking up and down the earth and really I hadn't found a match for me yet. Matter of fact, I believe that's what the devil says today. But God said, hey, I've got a man for the job. He said, his name is Job. And so he wouldn't you like God to recommend you? He came with the backing of God's signature. That's amazing to me. That God said, hey, you can look all over, but there's not one like Job. He's not going to deny me. Well, I hope God can say that about me today. I hope God can say that about you today. But so Job is answering there his critics, and he says to them in verse 2, he says, even today is my complaint bitter. He said, my stroke is even heavier than my groaning. Now, I looked up that word stroke, by the way, and basically it means this. Well, Strong's Concordance said it's an open hand. Everybody knows what that means, right? But I looked it up in Webster's, which I love Webster's. And it says this about that word here in the Scripture. It says, keep burning by adding fuel. Think about that in your life. Sometimes it just feels like you're in the furnace. And that's the way Job describes his ordeal that he's going through. And we'll see here in a little bit, he says that, I feel like I'm in a furnace. And sometimes in your Christian life, you're going to feel like God's turned up the heat on you. Yeah. You're going to feel like that you're in the fiery furnace. But remember, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God said He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And whether you go through the fiery furnace or whether you go through the sunny mountaintop, God will be there with you. That's a good promise from our God. But Job said it, boy, it sure is, it's heavy. It's hurting. But notice what he says in verse 3. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. Basically, Job is drawing a picture of a courtroom. Job says, you know, God, I know He's the great and mighty judge, he says, but if I was in the courtroom, I would try to argue my case. Matter of fact, if you read the end of the story, God gives him an opportunity to plead his case, and Job was just looking at the glory of God. And you know how the story ends. Job never argued with God because why? He understood why God was doing these things in his life. Now look on down, it says verse 5, I would know the words which he would answer me, and understand what he would say unto me. I will plead against me. Will he plead against me with his great power? Notice what he says. No. But he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered from forever from my judge. Behold, I go backwards. I go forward. Behold, let me read that again. Behold, I go forward. But he is not there. And backwards, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doeth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. Boy, think about this, and I'll preach on this subject this morning, is that when God is not there, when God is not there, have you ever come to a point in your life that you said, God, where are you at? You ever felt like the presence and the power of God has departed from you? And you feel like, I know none of you here would feel this way, but you feel like the black cloud is just hovering overhead. You ever feel like that you're never going to see the light of day again? And sometimes you say, I see the light at the end of the tunnel, but I know it's a train. Guilty? You ever just felt like that everything that's happening in your life is on the negative? Been there? You ever felt like it's just, you know, that the shutters of heaven have been closed? You ever thought that the doors of heaven and the windows of heaven have been closed and that there's no communication between you and God? Job said, I looked for him, but I couldn't find him. Now, I'll read the rest of the story in a little bit, but I want to say sometimes in our life it feels like God's not there. Sometimes it feels like we are walking on a path that nobody has ever been down, that God Himself has not walked with you on this path. But can I tell you, remember this, that God said to His children, now I'm not talking to the lost yet, I'm talking to those who are saved, that God said He'll never leave you nor forsake you. The Bible says that He's not far from any one of us. But sometimes God allows the clouds to come between us and Him. You know, we were out fishing a few days ago for my birthday, hallelujah. And if you didn't get my Christmas present, I'm still receiving those. If you have those available, just kidding. But it was a cloudy day. It was a very cloudy day. And I remember me and Pastor got back in the truck and I said, man, your face is red. You got burnt today. And he's like, it was over. And we begin to think, and you know, we say this, that we've heard all of our life, the sun is still shining no matter what the clouds are doing. And I thought about how many times I've been out on the bay before, and it'd be a cloudy day, and I'd say, I don't need no sunscreen. And I come back home, and I look like a lobster. And I remember thinking that, you know what, it doesn't matter if we can see the sun, but the sun can see you. The S-O-N can see you. Sometimes our pathways get obscured. Our vision gets obscured. Our focus gets out of whack. And we begin to think, God, where are you at? Can I remind you of the life of Job? Job woke up one day just like he woke up every day. Job put his pants on. He put his clothes on. Probably ate breakfast that morning with his family. I probably went outside to take care of his stock, probably was working, and all of a sudden he began to see a man running toward him, a servant that began to run toward him. And these servants began to give the worst news that Job had ever heard. Job lost everything he had in one day. You know, I've met a lot of people in my life that have lost a lot of things. But I've never seen anybody that's lost everything in one day. I've never seen anybody that's lost their family and everything in one day. I know what it's like to feel that God has disappeared from your life. And Job said, you know what? I just wish that I could see the glimpse of God one more time. Job in his life, because of all of these tragic things that God had taken his family away, he allowed the devil to come in and to put his hand upon him. Now Job says, I don't know where to find him. You're going to come to a point in your life where you say the very same thing. There's going to be some of those dark and tragic days that you're going to go through, whether it's, I don't know, whether it's you dealing with death, sickness, or just problems of this life, but you're going to look up to heaven and you're going to say, God, are you here? Have you ever got out on your knees and prayed and felt like the prayer went no further than your lips? Job said in verse 3, he said, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. He said, you know what? I think what I'm going to do, and he begins to explain this. I want you to notice what he says over in verse 8. He says this, Job said, behold, he said, I go forward. By the way, I think it's in line of what Job is saying to think of it this way. Job said, you know what? The first place I got to go is just forward. I got to keep going forward. By the way, when you get in a storm in your life, just keep going forward. Job will explain it here in a little while. You just keep doing what you know to do. You keep just serving God and keep going, even though it may seem like your life has gotten stormy and cloudy all of a sudden. You keep doing what you know to do. You keep serving God. He said, I go forward. But notice what he said. He said, but he is not there. Job said, you know what? I'll just make sure I didn't get ahead of him. He said, and backwards. Notice what he says. He said, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. Job said, well, I'm going to keep going because maybe my situation is not as bad as I think it is. I'll just keep going forward and I'll find him. And then Job says, but wait a minute, maybe I got ahead of God. You know what? Sometimes in our life we get ahead of God. It's amazing, isn't it? I love my kids. And I like to play tricks on my kids. And because I think that's what every father ought to do. And it's so fun if you go somewhere, especially, you know, your kids get into something, you know, they're looking at something, they're doing something, they're not really paying attention, and you just stop and let them keep going and see how long it takes them until they realize they're not with you anymore. You know what's always amazing to me? The place they always look is where? Behind them. Because they knew that they left mom and daddy behind. And I love to watch my kids. They'll be walking along, you know, not paying attention. All of a sudden, they're there you go. And then, you know, it's that sigh of release on them because, hey, here we are. Every now and then, I will hide in good places. Amen. Just because I'm a good father, amen. Sometimes I make it a little more harder for my kids. But notice what Job said in verse 9. He said, now on the left hand, he said, where God doeth work. He said, this is where he works over here. I've seen God many times work in my life. I've seen him work in my family's life. Job says, I'm going to go back to where I know he was. Job said, I went forward. He wasn't there. He said, I looked backwards to make sure I didn't get ahead of him. He says, but I'm going to go back to that familiar place where God had worked in my life before. You ever done that? You ever tried to go back and where you know God had worked before? You know, and maybe it's in that prayer closet. Maybe it was when you was reading the Bible. And Job said, I go to the left hand. But notice what he says. He said, I went to the left where he doeth work, but I cannot behold him. Can you imagine in your life if you went forward and went backwards to the left where you know he always worked and you couldn't find God's presence? All of a sudden, a little bit of fear begins to well up in your life. Now notice what the next thing Job said. He said, and on the right hand, he said that I cannot see him. Job said, I've been on all four points of the compass, and yet I cannot find God. What do we do? You know what a lot of people do? They quit. When they cannot see God in their life, they quit. Can I tell you, don't quit this morning. Don't quit this morning. Job didn't quit. We'll read the rest of the story. I'm trying to leave it for the end, but Job didn't quit. Sometimes we say, well, and I'm speaking from experience, Lord's just against me. Lord's against me. Boy, we can get in a pity party in a hurry. Boy, you start blowing up balloons in a hurry for your pity party. You can start baking that cake in the oven for your pity party and putting candles on there that only you can blow out. Amen. And before long, you will forget that God always sees you. Even though the clouds obscure your view of Him, He can always see you. Yet you have to ask yourself this morning, then, when God is not there, then why does He hide? Let me give you three things very quickly this morning why God sometimes hides His face from us. And we'll draw a comparison with David because David spoke of the very same thing as Job did. He began to speak of how he couldn't find God. And so I began to study these two lives between Job and David, and we know they're two separate lives. But yet, I believe we can draw a comparison in why God hides His face sometimes. Sometimes God just, kind of like a parent does, you just kind of go around the other side of the clothes rack and see if your kids will notice that you're gone. Hello? Sometimes it takes my kids a little while to figure out Daddy's not with them. Mm-hmm. Now listen, here it is with God. Now I want to give you three things very quickly. Number one, it's so we will call for Him. It's so we'll call for Him. Can I give you this? I'm not as bad as I used to be because I don't know why I'm getting older, I guess. But I don't pick on my kids as much as I used to. Matter of fact, I think they figured out all my tricks, so I don't think it's as funny as anymore. But I remember times in the store, probably Shelby or Brody, one of those, and I even do this to Bailey. I think it's funny with her, too. It's great. We'll be in a store, and I did this to Bailey not too long ago because she loves her daddy. And it's funny whenever your kids, and you go hide somewhere, and you don't let them know you're there. You know what my kids do first? Daddy? Daddy? It's not funny. Daddy? Mama? They start calling out names they don't even know. Bubba? Henry? And you know what? I believe sometimes when God disappears from our life, I believe He just wants us to say, Father? Father? Because sometimes we can forget that God's with us. Sometimes we just go about our life and we begin to walk the course that we've always walked before. We're just walking along and God says, and what do? We just keep going. And then we get to that point in our life. You remember the statement, the end of your road? You know what that statement means? That means that's where God's not. Because God doesn't put road closers in. God puts bridges in. And can I tell you today that when you get to the end of your road and you realize, uh-oh, where's God? His presence and His power's gone from your life. And the first thing you should do is say, Father, hello, God, are you there? Listen to me this morning. That's very important. Second thing, why God hides His... Well, matter of fact, go over to Psalm. Let me draw a comparison real quick about how... So we'll call for Him. Psalm 51. Psalm 50 and 1. I want you to notice something this morning. This verse don't sound right. The mighty God, even the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. And that ain't the right verse. But it's a good verse. You need to have that verse. Am I even in 51? Amen. I wrote it down wrong. Anyway, that's a very good verse. The Lord is there. Anyway. So you will call upon Him. And listen to me. Call upon the Lord and He'll answer thee and show thee great mighty things that thou knowest not. That's why God wants you to call. Amen. Would you get a little... Well, I better keep going. Number two. So you will cry out for Him. There again, go back to my kids. And their mean dad. We're walking along. And I slip aside and I slip behind. Usually I do clothes racks. I used to. And I'd hide behind that clothes rack. My kids go, Dad? It always starts off with a call. Dad? Then it goes from a call to what? To a cry. Daddy! Daddy! It's not funny anymore! Daddy! Listen to me. When you go out of God's will, or maybe God's putting you in that storm, that cloud is covering His glory and His presence, and you get to the end of that road and you realize God's not with you anymore, you're going to call for Him, Father. But after a while, you hear that dead silence. This is what should happen, by the way. If God's presence and power is gone from your life, you shouldn't enjoy life. You should plead for God and seek God. You call on Him and say, God, where are you? And then the next thing that you know that you're going to be crying. You're going to be crying out to God. When David came to God and asked for forgiveness, and he didn't say, Lord, would you forgive? David cried unto the Lord. David's heart was broken. And by the way, sometimes when God leaves our life, it ought to bring sorrow that He's gone. So we think. When God hides Himself from us, it should cause us to want to cry out for Him. Now we'll try this one, Psalm 30. If not, this is a good psalm. Psalm 30. Now notice this in verse 7 and 8, if you will. Verse 7 and 8. Psalm 30, verse 7 and 8. Now notice this. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face. Now notice this. David said, and I was troubled. Verse 8 says, I cried to thee, O Lord, and the Lord unto the Lord, and I made supplication. David said, I cried unto thee, O Lord. And that word supplication means a prayer with groaning and a prayer with earnestness in our heart. And David said, I cried unto him, Lord, where are you? Lord, don't hide your face from us. Look in Psalm 10, if you will, Psalm 10. Go back to Psalm 10 and 1. Notice what David said again, what the psalmist said. He said, why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? You ever feel that way? God sometimes hides himself from you so you'll cry out to him. You know why I believe this? I believe God still is wanting to hear from his children, sometimes from a broken heart. Sometimes from a heart that feels that it's been left all alone. Well, let me give you the last thing this morning. Not only so we'll call and cry, but I want you to notice the last thing. I believe this is the greatest one. So you will come for him. You know, it's funny to watch my kids because daddy will hide from them. They'll go, daddy. Then they go from that, uh-oh, he really is gone. Daddy. And then what do my kids start doing after that? They start looking because they want to come to where daddy is. They want to go back where they feel safe and secure. And by the way, in God's presence is where I feel safe and secure. Because even David said, thou art my refuge, my shield and my sword. He said, you are my strength. And when we get to where God is not in our life, we got to go find him. By the way, God's always there. God is always there. Don't misread me this morning. God is always there. He sees you. He hears you. He's watching you. Just like the disciples when he sent them out on the Sea of Galilee. Remember he said, I'll go up in the mountain and pray. And when they got out there, they began to toil and the winds were contrary to them. But the Bible says that Jesus saw them toiling. He saw them. He was watching them. Even though they couldn't look back on the mountain and say, oh, he's still there watching us. We're all right. No, because of the storm and because of all the things that were going on, they said, he's not here. What do you think the disciples did? Well, we'll make it. No. I believe there was some crying on that boat. Amen. I believe there was some nervousness in that boat. And when God is hiding his face from you, you need to call out. You need to cry, but you need to go back to him. Sometimes you're going to look and he's not going to be there. Sometimes you're going to look and sometimes God has removed himself from your life. Not in the matter of being gone, but sometimes God puts a shadow between us and him. I remember a time in my life whenever I was pastoring. And I remember that I began to study for a message one day, and I was just trying to get something from God. And boy, I tell you what, it just seemed like the pages of my Bible were blank. Seemed like I remember that very day that I closed my Bible because I read it for like a couple of hours, and it seemed like I was reading just blank pages. So I done what every good Christian should do. I closed my Bible and I pulled my chair out and I turned around and I started praying. I started crying unto the Lord because I felt like God was not there with me that day. And I never will forget that this went on for several days. And Saturday night I was still in my office praying. I was going to have to preach Sunday morning. And I opened my Bible and said, God, I need something. And yet my pages of my Bible were blank. My prayers seemed like they were nothing. And I remember that day thinking, I'm just going to quit and go home. I closed my Bible, I pulled my chair up, I went home, I went to bed. I sat there all night long thinking, God, what am I going to do tomorrow? Those people are going to come, it's going to be the biggest crowd we've ever had because that's usually the way it works. Amen. We're going to have visitors and I'm going to stand up there and say, got nothing, let's pray. Or as any good Baptist preacher does, we're going to have testimony time tonight, amen. If you ever hear that, preacher's got nothing, amen. I'm telling y'all the tricks of the trade, amen. Watch next week, Pastor get up here and say, we're going to have testimony time. I'm going to go. I remember that day. I woke up and I opened my Bible and I began to read. And all of a sudden, God began to give me things, one after another. And then I realized something in my life that I'd never realized before. I was spending my time trying to feed my people instead of trying to feed me. And what had happened in my life at that time, I was fresh in the ministry of pastoring. And I remember this one thing. I had went through my all just going through things I go through every day. And I realized I forgot about me, feeding me with the Word of God, praying for my family's needs. You know what had happened in my life? Is that I had walked off from God. And I just kept doing everything that I've been doing, and I didn't realize that God had stepped away from my life. What a sad case in today's society, in today's Christianity, that we can walk away from God and it take weeks and months to realize that God is not with us. I believe immediately Job knew that God had left him. When we read in Psalm 23, we're reading past tense stuff. We're reading things that had already happened. Job's not telling Eliphaz that this is what I'm doing. He said, no, this is what I've done. I believe the very day that God took everything away from Job, I believe that very night when he was laying in the ashes and scraping himself, I believe this is what he was going through. My friends, today, can I encourage you? Make sure you know that God is with you. Now, maybe God's not with you because of rebellion. Maybe you rebelled against God. Maybe it's sin, and maybe it's things that you allowed to creep in your life. By the way, God doesn't like sin. He can't look upon it. Maybe in your life that you decided to go with sin instead of the Savior, and the Savior is waiting there saying, hey, come back. Lord, I've wandered far away from the fold. But I like the way that song says, but Lord, now I'm coming home. I'm tired of sin. I'm through with it. I'm tired of it. I'm sorry, Lord, that I rebelled. Matter of fact, God said the way you get back to Him is by repentance and saying, Lord, I'm sorry, and repent and call out and cry out to God and come back to God. You know when people come back to God is whenever, well, number one, if they get caught. But number two, when they get tired. When they get tired of sin, you take the prodigal son. You know when the prodigal son came back? It wasn't whenever he realized he was away from his father. It was whenever he had spent all he had. And whenever he realized that he was eating with the swine. When he realized that his life was in a dead end, he realized that, hey, I got to go back to the Father. I need that strength and I need that visibility of my Father. I need God today. Maybe not only it's because of rebellion, but maybe it's because God's left you because of routine. Stay there a minute, preacher. Thank you. I will. I wake up. I go to church. Sometimes we get in mechanical mode. I open my psalm book. We sit down. We stand up. We sit down. We stand up. We pray. Preacher preaches. We go down to the altar. We go home and eat. Or go to a restaurant. What are we going to do next Sunday? The same thing. What am I going to do? I'm going to get up every day. I'm going to do the same. By the way, be careful. I'm nothing without you. And God, I know I'm going to mess up if I walk in my way. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, right? But the end is death. It's a bad path. You don't want to go down it. But seek His way, His path. But sometimes it's not just because of rebellion and routine, but maybe you're here today, maybe it's because of rejection. God is never with you to begin with. By the way, the world can put flowers around this and puff paint and bedazzle it. But if you're lost, God is not your Father. If you have rejected the grace and gift of God, that is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, you have rejected the God of heaven, He is not your Father. So when you call out, I'm not your Father. And can I say today that if you're lost, if you've rejected Jesus Christ, yes, I understand that God sees all, but God is not with you. And the reason that God is not with you is because of your rejection of the grace of God. By the way, why in the world would somebody reject God's grace when it's free? The gift of God. It's free through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a free gift. So there's somebody here today that says, preacher, I never accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I feel all alone. You want to know why people commit suicide, why people are on so many drugs today, why they're addicted to alcohol and all these things? It's because they're trying to fill a void in their life. And the only way that you can fill that void in your life is accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Without Jesus Christ, you're lost and on your way to hell. But can I say, we got a great God in heaven that's saying, hey, I'll save you. Amen. I'll save you if you'll just call upon me. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. Amen. I'm glad that doesn't say whosoever shall be a millionaire shall be saved. For whosoever shall be a good person shall be saved. No, the Bible said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You're here this morning, you say, preacher, my life is dark. There's no light in my life. Maybe it's because you've never received the light. The light. The capital L light. Maybe you've never accepted the capital S-O-N, sun, in your life. Maybe your life is dark and maybe you can't see any goodness or... You know what? A lot of people see that in this life. It's just, bless me. I'm not going to make it through this life. And you know why a lot of people say that? Because they're lost. I know where I'm going when I leave this world. My way may not be perfect, but can I say that the end of my life is perfect? Because I'm going to inherit a mansion. I'm glad it's not a room, too. We're going to see, don't let me hurt your feelings, but you know, we always talk about, I can't wait to get to heaven to see my loved ones. You know what? That's going to be the last thing on your mind. Because you know what? They're not going to be looking for you either. I know that goes contrary to 90% of the songs that are in the hymn or in most song books. But can I say this? I believe that we're going to be so enthralled with what Jesus looks like and His glory. And can I tell you, I believe your family members may be right beside you, but they're not going to be looking at you. They're going to be looking at a Savior. And if you have rejected Jesus Christ, you'll never get to see the glory of God and the grace of God and the majesty of God and all that it will behold in heaven. Oh, I can't wait. If you're here today, you say, preacher, it's dark. I understand. I've been in those dark days. You think the shades, the windows of heaven are closed? You know, we always sing, well, the windows of heaven are open. Blessings are falling tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything. Sometimes we sing a song, the windows of heaven are closed. I'm burdened down in my soul tonight. There's sorrow, sorrow, sorrow in my heart since Jesus walked away from my life. But listen to me. God may be doing it for a greater purpose. Let's read the rest of this and I'm done. Go to verse 10. I like this. Notice verse 10 and I'm done. But He knoweth the way that I take. I like that. Sometimes you think God's not watching, but can I encourage you today? God sees the path you take. Notice what else Job said. Job said, he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. At the end of Job's life, he got double of what he had before. That's a pretty good deal. Now, I'm not praying that God would put me through that. But if he wanted to try me as gold, Lord, I'm yours. We're bought with a price, right? You're not your own. God can try you if he wants to. But I like the rest of this. Verse 12 says, neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Wow. Job said, even in the days when I was the most hungry, I was still saying, God is good. I believe Job was saying, God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. God answers prayer. Well, can you imagine Job singing that? I don't know. He may not, but I could just picture. He was saying, God, you're good. Notice on, if you will. He says in verse 13, he says, but he is in one mind. Meaning, you know what that means? It means God doesn't change his mind. Ain't that amazing? And who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, he even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. And many such sayings are with him. Therefore I am troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me, because I was not cut off from before the darkness. Neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. Job said, God is looking at me. He's watching me. I'm going to keep going, because I know he's with me. Yeah, it may get dark and cloudy in your life. It may seem like God's 100 miles from you. But he said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. Some of you, I don't know what you're going through. And matter of fact, I'll tell you this, that God knows everything that you're going through in your life. The things that maybe you've never even told anybody else that you're going through in your life right now, God knows. And God is watching your life. He sees you. He hears. But also, I believe God is waiting. And see how we react. And I believe even when Job said, Lord, I know you're there. I know that you're watching me. God didn't immediately take away all the storm clouds and allow him to see him. Job still had to keep going. Job said, I didn't go back from your commandments, Lord. I love you and I praise you. And he said, I know when you bring me out of this, I'm going to come forth as gold. This morning you're here and you say, preacher, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Savior. Can I invite you to come down to this altar and somebody will take a Bible and show you not what we think, not what the world thinks, but what God says through his word. How to be saved. And when you get saved and you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, your world of darkness, all of a sudden, all things become new. You know what becomes new in your life? You go from dark to light. You go from hell to heaven. That's a great trade. You just step out of your pew and somebody deal with you. We're not here to embarrass anybody. But if you're here today, say, preacher, I'm just what you preached today. My life is dark. I know I'm saved. I know I'm on my way to heaven. But my life is dark. I feel like God's nowhere near. You need to come ask him, Lord, where are you at? By the way, God will reveal himself to you. If you seek him, he will reveal himself to you. Let's stand this morning. Musicians come.